before I begin this morning, I would like to thank Reverend Lori for the opportunity for this experience, as I haven't even gone through preaching class yet. But before I begin, let's just have a brief word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this word. God, I just pray that it be pleasing unto you. Let what you have, Lord, fall on fertile soil this morning. Amen. In our Old Testament reading this morning, we find Moses declaring God's word that the people will again prosper. And I get hung up when I see that word prosperity as it's written in the Bible quite a few times in the Old Testament. Some pastors preach that message as materialistically. You're going to be wealthy, you're going to have a huge house, and you're going to have, and you're going to have, and you're going to have. I challenge us this morning to look at it on a spiritual level. God is not promising us more than what we need. God is not promising us abundance materialistically. God is promising us abundance spiritually. That closeness to God. That peace beyond all understanding. And I take the word prosperity as that, as a spiritual blessing, a spiritual growth, if you will. So Moses is giving the word to the people with the stipulation that they love God first and follow God's commandments as they're given. In the book of Luke, Jesus takes this commandment from God one step further. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." So that leads us to our gospel reading this morning, and the title of this message, "Who is our neighbor?" One of the things that I found myself morphing into even during seminary this past year, and I preface this with, Jesus was, is, and forever will be the only way for me. But I found myself looking beyond that, and Jesus not being for everybody. And I know, as a Christian, we are called to share the great news of Jesus' love for us with all of those that we meet. And I do. I share my love for Jesus. And I share my journey with those that I've come to meet. And I share the many times that God has revealed God's self to me through that relationship with Jesus. But what I'm getting at here is in the world today, we have so many beliefs, traditions, thought processes, even in the Christian faith, we have so many different options and so many different choices of how to interpret that Christianity. I think the loving our neighbor, as it relates to this, is a mutual understanding of each other. I love my friends of different belief, tradition, or none at all, because we can have those conversations and not have those conversations to say, I'm right and you're wrong. But by having these conversations, we truly understand each other and not separate ourselves by our differences, but celebrate them. It's okay to not agree. It's okay to not believe or wish to participate in someone's other tradition. But when we have these conversations, there's peace. There's understanding. And I love sharing those conversations because we could see the many different levels, the many different experiences of and with the divine. In our gospel reading from Luke today, we find a lawyer. And I would consider him a modern day politician, questioning Jesus. And it's said by R. Allen Culpepper in his interpretation of the book of Luke in the Fortress Commentary Bible, that this interaction is a way of the lawyer trying to trick Jesus. He's questioning his authority. He's questioning Jesus' very honor. And I like how Jesus responds. And I found that although the other Gospels share different versions of what Jesus said and did, Luke is the only of them to have this particular parable. Jesus was constantly approached and questioned by lawyers, scribes, and rulers of the time. But when Jesus answered this lawyer, he answered the question with a question. What is written in the law? How do you read it? The commandment to love God multiple times is, as it appears, multiple times throughout the Old and the New Testament, is usually followed up with, or at least inferred, to do this and you'll live, specifically in the book of Proverbs. And the central character in our story this morning he's really uncharacterized, just referred to as a man. This man was beaten, robbed, and left on the side of the road to die. It is said that a priest came walking by, and seeing this from a distance, crossed over to the other side of the road as to not have to experience this man. Not much unlike some people in today's society who may see a needy person in their path up ahead and intentionally cross over to the other side of the street in hopes of not being approached by them. When I personally encounter such a situation, it is my personal thought to not give money. That's just who I am. However, I will offer some other sort of means of help. It's really hot out today. You're sweating a lot. Can I buy you a bottle of water or a soda or pop, whichever you prefer? When I was in training in my current job, the corporate office is in Kentucky. And the office was about a one-block walk from my hotel. Normally not so much in the morning, but definitely in the afternoon on my trek back to the hotel, I would be approached multiple times in a one-city block distance. And my response each time was, you know what? I just got out of work. I'm on my way to dinner. Why don't you join me? And in all of those cases, none of the people wished to join me for dinner. I am proud and excited to be a part of this community of faith, MCC of the Spirit, because we do so much to not only acknowledge the needs out there, but we act upon that acknowledgement. We serve a lunch once a week, right? Downtown. We have our sharing our caring meals and our helping hand ministry. And so many ways in which we, a small part of God's world, giving back to those in need, just as Jesus has called us to. We see another man. He is described as the Levite. This man is possibly from the same social status and social location of the man in the ditch. But he also decides to cross over to the other side of the road as to not encounter or experience this man. And then came the Samaritan. This man at the time was looked down upon, the black sheep of the neighborhood, if you will. And he stopped to help this man. He gave up his donkey to bring this man to an inn. He nursed the man as far as he could and then paid for the man's stay with a promise that anything above those 2 denarii, he would repay upon his return. And Jesus finished the story with a question to the lawyer. And I wonder how Jesus felt. Because I'd be standing, I would be thinking, yeah, I got him. I got him. But Jesus asked the man, who was this man's neighbor? And there really is no other answer except to say the one who showed mercy. And then Jesus gave the charge, go and do likewise. Today, we're called to continue to go and do likewise. There may be someone that just needs someone to sit with them. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to be told how they can fix it. Just come and sit and be in that presence. Have we been shown mercy and grace in our lives? Yes. Yes, we have. And that mercy, that grace from God, comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the bridge over the troubled waters. Simon and Garfunkel. Who is the bridge over the troubled waters, taking us from this side of the chasm over to God. We are called to offer friendship and assistance as we can to our neighbor, which leads me back to the question again, who is our neighbor? In the beginning of my message, I mentioned that not only are we created in the image of a loving divine spirit, every living being is created by that same loving divine spirit. There are so many different thoughts, beliefs, practices. Again, just look at the options that we as Christians have. But there is one God who created all of us. As the children's hymn, Jesus Loves the Little Children, clearly states, and we teach our children, red, yellow, black, white, we are precious in his sight, for Jesus loves the little children of the world. In conclusion, I challenge you to look at the hard truth of where we are as a society. In living out the scripture, who are you personally in this story? I find in the world today, we're fighting our causes. And we all have a cause. And our cause is so important to us that sometimes it pushes beside someone else's cause so that we can get to the forefront with our cause. Has anyone ever canoed or rafted with a group of people? It's fun. I know I learned quickly. And if you haven't, you will too, that we all need to be working together. This oar needs to be rowing here, that oar needs to be rowing there, and someone needs to be steering. If we're all rowing on the same side of the boat, we're just going to keep going in circles. But what happens when we all row together? We get to our destination imagine if we didn't lay down our cause for the sake of someone else's, and they didn't lay down theirs for the sake of us. But together, we got in the boat and rowed together. Imagine the places that we could go. Imagine the relationships that we would have if we all row together. So, to wrap this all up, we are all neighbors of each other, regardless of our differences. Let us put down our differences of separation and row and grow together. Amen.